So now we know where the problem is. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you in the studio. Even though we're in different studios, we seem to have a good signal tonight, so we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, so let's not jinx it by talking about it. Yeah, Chuck, sometimes you have trouble figuring out what exactly is driving certain things. When we see politicians get up and they're out there and they're talking and they're saying all this stuff and you're sitting there like, what? Where are they coming up with this? Well, I guess we're not alone in that, because I guess some politicians sit back and when they hear their colleagues talk about things and talk and talk and talk, they sit back and say, I just don't understand this. And we've got a really clear example that today in United States Senator John McCain. Now, John McCain's name is no stranger to this program, Charles, because we spend an awful lot of time, well, I'll just say it outright, we pick on John McCain every once in a while because he's a good target to pick on, especially from a constitutional and Christian perspective. He's a good target to pick on. But I think we found the source of his problems, Charles, because earlier over the week, on the weekend, on Sunday, during a round of television talk shows that, you know, every Sunday morning, if you don't go to church and worship, you sit around and you worship your other god, which is politics mainly, because that's about all that's on television on Sunday mornings. And you get to see talking heads like the Senator John McCain from Arizona going on all of the political talk shows. Well, he basically came out and said it the other day, and it kind of explains a lot, Charles. He said, I don't understand. Now, what he was talking about, I don't understand, was he didn't understand why certain of his Senate colleagues, specifically Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and others in the United States Senate, were planning on filibustering any kind of gun control bill that would be brought to the floor of the United States Senate. You see, in John McCain's world, filibuster doesn't exist because he believes that, well, the United States Senate is a great debate society. You know, like in Great Britain and their healthcare a little bit on yesterday's program, it's sort of like the Great Britain where they have the formal debates and they invite people in. And I think even our good friend Tom DeWeese was there one time, wasn't he, debating in Great Britain against...
Yes, I can't remember where he debated.
I forget.
Oxford, I think.
In Oxford, I think. The Oxford Debating Society, I think is what it is. And so John McCain wants the United States Senate to be like the Oxford Debating Club. He just wants them to all get up and talk and air out their views and their policy proposals on the floor of the Senate. And he really says, I just don't understand it. He goes, the purpose of the United States Senate, this is a direct quote, Chuck, the purpose of the United States Senate is to debate and to vote and to let the people know where we stand. Charles, if that was the case, and that's the purpose of the United States Senate, why do we waste so much taxpayer dollars on having those guys run around the country and flap their gums? Why don't we just force them to go from 9 to 5 every day of the week, Monday through Friday, onto the floor of the United States Senate where they can talk all day long?
Well, look, this statement is so absurd on its face if you understand what the United States Senate does that it's ridiculous. They are not a debating society.
Well, help us explain that, Chuck, because when we teach Institute on the Constitution, we try to bring these kind of things out and help you to understand what the true constitutional purpose of these chambers really are.
Well, what the Senate does is participate in the activity of making law. And when you make law, when you debate these things on the floor of the Senate and you vote on them, you're voting on whether or not to create a law. Now, if we take McCain's statement, what he's basically saying is our real purpose is out here to simply debate it and show people how we feel. Well, you show people how you feel by creating a law. Let's talk about the one major problem that flies in the face of what he's saying, and that is the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment says specifically, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, if we remember what the Bill of Rights is specifically, it is a prohibition of power to the federal government. In other words, the right to keep and bear arms cannot be assailed in any way by the federal government. There is nothing, no extenuating circumstance that allows the federal government to limit the right to keep and bear arms. that right was and continues to be allowed only to the states. What a lot of people don't understand is, you mean you would wipe away the right to own a machine gun? I would acquiesce to my state's decision on whether or not I could own a machine gun. Would I wipe away the federal law? Yes, I would. Would I wipe away the idea that you can't ship them interstate? Yes, I would. Now, can you make it a law not to ship them, for instance, into a state that outlaws it? Sure.
Sure.
No problem.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that is where the interstate, that's where your interstate commerce clause would attach. Yeah, that state doesn't allow you to ship machine guns into it. If you ship one, then you'd be in trouble. Okay, so what is McCain talking about here? He's attempting to sell this as merely debating the question, when in fact what this law would do, and the reason that the Republicans are talking about filibustering it, which he's made it clear that he's not going to be involved in the filibuster. So strike one against John.
So does that mean that he has another dinner date with Barack Obama while they're doing the filibuster like he did the first time?
Probably. Now, what this means, of course, is that these guys are filibustering this because it has every possibility of passing the Senate. The Senate is Democrat majority controlled, although...
I was going to say, now, for John McCain, that's one of the base things that he's totally forgotten about is, you know, it's great to have a debating society when the vote's 50-50, but when your leftist Democrats outweigh your conservatives by a significant margin, and probably the vote would be like somewhere in the neighborhood of 57-42, you don't stand up and air out all of your differences on this, because what you're going to end up doing is passing out legislation that restricts people's liberties, their freedoms, and their rights.
Well, what I would tell you on this bill is I don't think you're going to see a party line split, because you're going to see some Republicans crossing over and voting for it. You're going to see Lindsey Graham and the usual gang of idiots.
Oh, and John McCain, yes.
And John McCain. McCain may not be that stupid. He may be just seeing how far he can push it and to see how much backlash he gets, which I think he's getting a lot of backlash, by the way. But you're going to see guys like the fellow from West Virginia, the senator down there, the
Joe
Democrat.
Joe Manchin.
Manchin's not going to vote for this thing. It's already been made manifestly clear to him that if he votes for it, he's out.
And that would be one that they would uphold, because there would be a number of more conservative Democrats lining up to take his seat should he step outside the lines on that one.
That's right. There are some conservative Democrats out west that won't vote for it. I can't give you names off the top of my head, but an analysis of how it would pass. It would pass along the line that you gave. My guess would be 55-45.
Okay. Well, John McCain knows it's going to pass too. Okay? I mean, he knows that if they can get it to the floor, they're going to ram gun control through the Senate. And I let it go, Chuck. He gave it away when he said this quote right here on the same Sunday programs. He said, quote, "I don't understand why United States senators want to block debate when the leaders said we could have amendments."
Amendments.
Well, Chuck, what he's just basically saying is, well, the leaders told us, and who are the leaders, Chuck? The leaders are Harry Reid, because honestly, Mitch McConnell isn't really a leader in the United States Senate. He's the Republican majority leader, but he's not going to let them have amendments. It's Harry Reid who is the Senate majority leader. So here's Democrat Harry Reid promising John McCain, who he knows is going to vote for the bill, oh, you can have amendments to the bill, which means, okay, we get it to the floor, we know we're going to get the votes to pass it, and we'll just let certain amendments go. So if John wants to put an amendment in, oh, to create a monument to John McCain in Arizona, oh, yeah, we'll put that in the bill. But if Rand Paul gets in there to put an amendment in to have Alaska-style open carry, no, we can't have that.
Well, as I pointed out at the beginning of this thing, we're actually taking our remarks out of two very different articles.
Yes, we are.
Which we're going to post up for you. One is in Politico, which purports to be quote-unquote balanced, but really leans pretty far to the left end of the scale. And one which is honest about its leanings, and that's to the definite right, and that's Breitbart.com.
Right.
And in fact, I'm getting more useful information, really, out of the Breitbart article. That part of the quote that you gave came out of Breitbart.
Yes, it did.
I don't think I see that on the Politico side. Politico's too busy asking Chuck Schumer questions, and he said he wants gun legislation to make it to the floor. Who here is shocked that Chuck Schumer wants to see gun control legislation on the floor of the Senate?
Not a shock, but it's also not a shock, because if you go back to Politico, there was another little piece that McCain threw out there that shows you where they're heading. And he says, wait a minute, what are we afraid of? If this issue is important as we all think it is, why not take it up in debate? Quote, everybody wants the same goal, to keep the guns out of the hands of criminals and the mentally disabled, unquote. Chuck, that's probably the most chilling words to a gun rights advocate in the world, is the mentally disabled, because number one, who's going to determine that? And number two, does that mean that before a law-abiding citizen can own a firearm, they are going to have to do a psychological evaluation with a professional psychologist or psychiatrist, and that would be on their permanent health records?
Well, I think you and I both know that the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, and I also do believe that there'll be disqualifying traits or events, such as, do you believe the Bible is the literal truth or the Word of God? Absolutely. Do you believe there's only one way to heaven? Do you think that the Constitution is a living document, or do you believe in original intent? And of course, if you believe in original intent, you believe in absolutes, there's something not quite right about you mentally, because you're not like the rest of us. You're not mainstream enough.
Well, of course, they would deny this up front, but you and I both know that ATF is probably working on a questionnaire even now. It won't be quite that open, but what will happen is, quote-unquote, experts from the American Psychological Association, the same folks who, by the way, used to call homosexuality a mental illness and removed it, not because there was scientific evidence that it wasn't a result of mental illness, but because they got political pressure in the 1970s.
Indeed, that's right.
From the handbook. This is the same way they will create a mental illness. Anyone who wants to own a gun is automatically suspect in their mental health. And that is a meme that has been building in the United States in academic circles for years.
Oh, absolutely, Chuck. And it's also scary because, again, Chuck Schumer, one of our favorite liberals, he's also been transparent about this. He's like, please let us go to the floor. If we go to the floor, I'm still hopeful that what I call the sweet spot, background checks, can succeed. Well, Chuck, background checks is just a way for the government to get so much more information on every law-abiding citizen that they don't need. And I believe that later this week, we're going to be talking about what alcohol, tobacco, and firearms is looking to do. They're salivating over the idea of getting universal background checks as well. And honestly, Chuck, it's to the point where most likely, if they can't get it on guns, what they'll try to do is to have a background check or a psychological profile before you can buy ammunition.
And that's probably where it'll go. What they're doing right now is restricting access to ammunition by simply tying up the market. Now, I've seen a couple of things, and unfortunately, Breitbart got taken in by this, that some of the Homeland Security's big, huge ammo buy they did was in order to save money. They bought in quantity to save money. Well, I have to laugh about that because they bought 28 years worth of ammunition, you know?
Well, you know, Chuck, and you know, that stuff's got a great shelf life, but I'm just not so sure that it can lay a hold up for 28 years.
Oh, I don't know. I've shot ammo much older than that.
Well, let's hope that the manufacturers gave it to the government. It won't last very long at all.
What's going on here, of course, Schumer knows. If he gets it on the floor, it's going to pass.
Yes, exactly. And so does McCain. He's actually throwing out that thing about amendments almost as a olive branch to the conservatives in his own caucus, saying, oh, look, guys, all we have to do is play along and be good little senators, and we might be able to get some amendments on this bill, but it'll go through, and you can just go back and feel good about yourself. Now, see, this has been McCain's problem. It was going all the way back to the 2008 election, Chuck. He wanted to have a collegial debate society with Barack Obama, and Barack Obama was out for the kill. And McCain couldn't bring himself to actually bring up Barack Obama's background history or his real record, because that somehow violated, in his mind, the decorum of the Senate. Well, I had news for John McCain.
Obama,
you weren't running for Senate leader. You were running for president of the United States, and it's a different ballgame.
Well, it's a vastly different ballgame. And in fact, what McCain wants to do is use the decorum and the rules of the Senate to little by little whittle away the Constitution. He's not averse to that. He thinks that the inside rules of these institutions makes it clear, and that times have changed. He has an evolutionary view of the Constitution. He has a living document view. It's become very clear by his voting record. And he is more than willing to throw the Constitution out when necessary. All you have to do is look at what he did when Rand Paul was busy standing up for it, and Ted Cruz were busy standing up for it, and Mike Lee and all these guys. What did he do? They're wacko birds.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Barry, I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.